It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And in today's life section of the Washington Times, you'll find in Dark Night of Political Soul, liberals too distraught, conservatives. Hey, it gets better. It's by Patrick Ruby, and he joins me now. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. The day after the election, it's either a new dawn or the end of the world, I guess, depending on your party affiliation, right?
That's exactly, yeah. It's almost like, confetti and balloons or apocalypse now. And, this time around, I think in some ways even harder than the last time around for conservatives, coming up on the losing side of the ledger in the presidential election, it hurts. I think this time, you see it in the Romney campaign, you saw it sort of in some of the more conservative leading pundits leading up to the election. There was a lot of feeling that, like, oh, we got this in the bag. We're going to win. And so it wasn't even like, oh, this is close. We don't know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, no, we've got this set. And then to lose, it's almost more shocking.
Yeah. I love the way you open your story with a guy sitting in his car. And just, I can actually envision the guy sitting there listening to talk radio, just totally alone the morning after.
Right. So there's this guy, David Goodfried. He's sitting in his Toyota Corolla. He's in a parking lot by a hiking trail here near D.C. in Bethesda. And he spends a half an hour listening to talk radio by himself. He can't move. And he's thinking, what happened? Why did my candidate lose? What kind of country, what kind of America am I living in? Well, it turns out David used to work in the Clinton White House. He's a co-founder of Air America Radio. He's totally on the liberal side of things. And this is what happened to him after George W. Bush got reelected in 2004. And that was kind of the whole premise of this article, is like, look, this is a tough time for conservatives. And we're all, conservatives are trying to cope right now. And who better to ask for some advice? The liberals that went through this with Bush. It's almost a mirror image.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny there, but you talk about what some people have done, like this woman who ran over her husband because she thought he contributed to Obama because he didn't vote.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is there's been a little bit of a crack-up sort of on the right side of things. You know, like that story in Arizona you mentioned, that might be the craziest. But, there's stories about business owners that are just, like, arbitrarily firing people because they're like, well, hey, Obamacare is going to cost more. It doesn't mean you have to fire people the day after the election. There's you see on Twitter, Donald Trump kind of lost his mind, and he was calling for a revolution and secession at a march on Washington. I don't, if Donald Trump's not leading a march on Washington to protest, toupee technology, I'm not really sure what kind of march he's going to lead, but there's been sort of a freak out. And like I said, I think, I come from a sports writing background. I got to tell you, it reminds me so much of like after your sports team loses a really big game. And if you ever turn to sports talk radio the next day, the knives are out. Everyone's blaming each other. Everyone's just distraught. I feel like I said, conservatives are in that place. But like I said, the liberals were there too. And surprisingly, while they don't feel a lot of sympathy, since, it was a contest and they won, they feel a lot of empathy. They actually had some good advice.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Tea Party obit. There's another example of something wacky.
Right. They posted something reading RIP America, July 4th, 1776, November 6th, 2012. Death was ruled a suicide. Now, I know it hurts. It always hurts to lose, but America has been through, as one of the liberal friends I spoke to in this story, said, been through the Civil War. We've been through the Great Depression. We've been through Pearl Harbor and Watergate. And I added, we've also been through 10 seasons of Two and a Half Men. So, really, if you think about it, this country, one of the genius things of this country is that we survive, we thrive, we get through stuff. No matter how bad you think Obama's been as a president, let me tell you, liberals think George W. Bush was as bad or worse, and everyone has survived. Everyone's kind of moved on.
Yeah. It is funny, because now we're hearing from people now saying, yeah, but we had never been in debt $16 trillion before and spending a trillion more than we take in each year. We've never had 47 million people on food stamps. So I guess what you're saying is, that aside, we haven't tendency in this country to overcome all and get back on the right track.
I think that's true, and I also think that there are always, I mean, look, realistically, there are always different challenges. I mean, what you just said is true, and for conservatives, looking at those things, those are legitimate reasons to freak out. But, I mean, you know, if you go back 50 years, you know, we had never been at war with Germany and Japan at the same time. You know, all these things are always a first. And, you know, the country always does seem to find a way. And, you know, the other thing to remember, too, is that losing today often plants the seeds for winning tomorrow. I mean, you could see, if you go back and look at political history, you know, the lessons that Republicans learned, conservatives learned from Goldwater's loss, for instance, eventually led to the era of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, that's true.
On the liberal side of things, the lessons that they learned from Al Gore's very tight loss, and from Kerry's loss to Bush, and from losing to Reagan in the 80s even, you could say with Clinton, I mean, it helped them learn the lessons they needed to in order to win the next time around. So nothing's really permanent in American politics, and that's why I say it's not an apocalypse. Things are always, the beauty of the American system is that it is always open to change. It's always open to course correction. They take time, but they happen.
Yep. So I guess it's for those who did not vote for Obama, it's 4 more years of crying and then hopefully a change.
Well, the one thing that is different, you know, I think a lot of conservatives used to laugh at this, but, you know, there was a lot of liberals threatening to move to Canada, right?
Yeah.
If George W. Bush won re-election. Now, most people never actually take up on this, but as one of the liberal comedians and writers I talked to, the story mentioned, you know, for a conservative, you can't really go to Canada. I mean, they have socialized medicine, right? That kind of just rules it out automatically. But he was pointing out that there is actually a country that that is sort of a conservative equivalent in some ways to Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it's a place where there's a very limited government, where the federal constitution actually defines marriage between people of the opposite sex, where, you know, it's kind of like the gun laws are very liberal. The problem is that this country is the Republic of Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. So it might not also be a place you want to go.
Ah, man, it's very good. Your piece is very good, and I urge people to read it. Liberals to Distraught Conservatives, It Gets Better. It's front page of the Life section in today's Washington Times by Patrick Ruby. Patrick, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.